What's up, everybody? I'm going to get into our show. We're about to go. Well, we are live now. I'm just sharing some links out on the lovely world of Facebook so everybody can see us. So we're going to get into this in a few seconds. We're going to have a fun interview with my guest today. Kind of hard to multitask and do two things as I share the link. Some tags here, and we're going to get into this.
All right.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's do it. So my name is Bay Ragney. We're tuned in here for the next episode of the Rockin' Ragney Show. I have my guest, which I'm going to introduce to you in a second. I do my little live read commercial here because we are sponsored by our good friends, Next Home Brandywine. they're based in Downeytown, Pennsylvania. Good friend Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors, they're going to provide you, whether you're a buyer or a seller, with guidance, knowledge, and information to serve you correctly to either sell or buy your new home. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for more details and to contact an agent. They do service Philly and the surrounding areas, but nationwide referrals are welcome because there is offices all around the country in 48 of the 50 states. Make sure you ask for the NH5 listing special, and you can call them directly and go to 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. That's nexthomebrandywine.com, and tell them Totally Driven Radio sent you. So there we go. All right, here he is. He's sitting there. He's waiting patiently. We're going to have a good time. Maybe even I could, maybe he could play a song for us since he's leaning on a guitar already. But let's welcome to the show, Mr. Rayan. Is it Belcher?
It's Belcher, like Belcher. Well, like Taco Bell, but with the singer Cher, Belcher.
Well, he's from the band Early Ray, which was just brought into my world yesterday from a mutual friend of ours. But you guys been around for like 10 years.
Yep. Yeah, we've been at this for a while in this original lineup, but kind of the introduction you're getting to it is what we've been doing for a decade. So we're just finally reaching you. So better late than never.
So how the hell did you guys maintain the original lineup for 10 years? I mean, that's a feat in itself.
Well, it really, really is. And it's just a testament to, I think, all of us being, really at the same maturity level, right? So being in different bands, you get different personalities at different maturity levels. And we're all about the same level of, like, we get it. And we've never had a lot of, big money or anything behind us. But fortunately, we all also, like, the drummer, Gary, is, if you ever see the band Hootie and the Blowfish, he plays percussion. He has a good paying gig. Carrie, our bass player, plays with the Indigo Girls. And our fiddle player, violin player, she does all kind of work. So, luckily we're able to kind of make a living with music in different ways, and we get together for Early Ray because, we really dig it and we really enjoy it.
Now, the name Early Ray, where did that come from?
My middle name's Earl, after my grandfather, and my first name is Rayan, which is just weird. That's really my name. When I used to come in with my grandfather, he would take me fishing when I was a kid, and my grandmother said, "Look, it's Earl and Early Ray." And whenever I was putting the band together, I didn't want to call it the Rayan Band or something.
Yeah.
But I still wanted it to have a little bit of real representation of having some real roots to it. So it was the nickname my grandmother gave to me, and both of them kind of passed not too long before we put the band together, so they were on my mind, and I thought that would be a cool way to pay tribute to them as well.
Nice, nice. So now you guys have the album, which it is out, Apple Pie.
Right.
And you have the single that just came out, the video, and you have a new member in the band. Like, is he a full-fledged member now, Billy Morris, or was it just for the one song? Or,
you know, don't be surprised to see Billy with us. He lives in Cleveland and we live in Charlotte, so we're 8-hour difference. Billy kind of spearheaded the idea in the very, very beginning stages of it. And I just, when Stevie and I were talking about the video, he really thought it'd be a great idea to have him make a cameo. And because Billy actually played the guitar leads in the song. And I didn't think he'd do it, to be honest. Billy's a great guy, but 8-hour drive to go be in the field at 5 o'clock in the morning is a pretty big ass, you know? And, but you know what? He was first in line to say, yeah, he wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, he was just happy as I was to pay tribute to Janie and try to do something cool, you know? So, you know, all props to Billy for everything he's done to help make this what it is. So
yeah, let's rewind that whole story. So what you guys did is they have, for everybody that doesn't know, they have their first single off the new album, Apple Pie, which is actually a cover of the Warrant classic Cherry Pie, but just changed it to Apple Pie. And so as I was going through and doing some research on you and the band and everything, I see you actually, you knew Janie Lane like 20 plus years ago. Right. So how did that happen? Like, it seems like you have like this whole Hollywood connection. You spent some time in Hollywood.
If to go through all my layers, Sunset Strip connection would take hours, but I'll try to give you a quick version. I grew up an 80s nerd, period. But when it was my turn to leave small town Carolina and go to the Sunset Strip, everybody hated the Sunset Strip. Like, not right. hated it, but you couldn't go to the Whiskey and say, hey, when is Bang Tango playing? They'd be like, right. oh, don't they Bang Tango? Back in like 97.
Right.
Well, I ran into, I grew up, the first band I ever saw live was Warrant. It opening for Poison on the, I think, Flesh and Blood tour. And he made such an impression on me as like a 12-year-old kid. I was just a nerd for that guy. And I thought he was such a great and underrated songwriter, period. And then I met him in 97 at NAMM. Wow. He was walking past me and I'm just a little fanboy. Right. And, I said, hey man, can I grab a photo with you? And he goes, yeah, sure. And he took the photo with me. And he just quickly kind of rolled off and started to walk away. He wasn't a jerk, but I could tell it as he was walking away. I just said, hey man, I think you're a great songwriter. And he literally stopped. And he turned around and he goes, what'd you say? I said, I just think you're a great songwriter, man. I really enjoy your music. And he came back and he shook my hand. He said, dude, I needed to hear that today. Thank you. And he goes, let's take another photo. That last one wasn't good. Let's do another one. And he stopped somebody walking in 97 at NAMM and said, will you take this photo for us? And that's the photo you see that Stevie ran in the article.
Okay.
And that's so awesome. A couple years later, a band of mine was doing some work, and ironically, I got connected with some management companies to pick from, and Bobby Steinman was one of the guys, and he just threw it out there. He was like, what is it going to take for us to represent you? What do you want to do? Who do you want to work with? And I said to Abby, I said, you know what? You may have never heard of this guy, but I want to write songs with Janie Lane. And Abby was managing him and was his guy forever. And he looked right over my shoulder like, I love Abby. He was a gangster. He looked at the other managers and said, go home, guys. We got him. And the next day at 2 o'clock. And the next day at 2 o'clock, I was in Sound Arena in Van Nuys writing with my songwriting hero, Janie. And we became kind of soft friends. I'm not going to, you know, oversell it, but we were buddies and we mainly talked college football, to be honest with you, more than music. Wow. But he gave me a lot of good advice. We wrote songs, gave me one of his guitars when he came through my town. And I'm just so happy that even if you hate what we're doing right now, it makes you think about the guy again. So
sure, absolutely. You know, that, I mean, seriously, dude, like, how was that experience for you? Like, I mean, mentally and emotionally, like, not many people can say they have a chance to work with, write music, make music with, you know, one of their idols. I mean, that had to be like kind of mind blowing. And like, you know, like, how did you say to yourself, like, how the hell did I get here?
Well, this whole story really unravels 20 years, and it's crazy to me. When I, short version, I was in a kind of an alt-rock band in the late 90s, a couple of years after that NAMM story I told you. And a guy that was a producer said, I want to hook you up with some attorneys. And I picked Owen Sloan because he repped Warrant. That's all I knew, and that's all I needed to know. Wow. And then Owen called all these managers to meet us. I picked Abby, and he managed Janie. So there were so many things just kept falling in line. And when right before I walked into Sound Arena that day, I was like, dude, if this is it, I made it. My 13-year-old self would be like, dude, you wrote with Janie Lane. It's a wrap. Go home. I was super nervous, but you know what was really great is I walked in, and I'm a pretty giant guy, right? I'm a tight end. And he goes, you should have played football. I said, I know, I was supposed to go to South Carolina. And he goes, you guys just beat Ohio State. And we started talking about football, and it was just like instant. We were just instant buddies. And you know, we wrote a few songs together that may see the light of day someday. You know, we'll see how this all plays out. And, you know, he's just a guy that I feel like hasn't been remembered enough. And, yeah. You know, like I get on the boards in a little bit, and I actually enjoy the hate because, you know, I was telling Steve, I said, to hate something enough to watch it and say something mean means you really love it, or else you'd be indifferent to it. Yeah. So even if I stir up some feelings, great. Go listen to Cherry Pie and, you know, Dirty Rotten Filthy Stinking Rich, Ultraphobic, Dog Eat Dog. Go listen to all that. Just remember the guy. That's my goal, I guess. So.
You know, it's a shame, too, because, I mean, it's sad we lost so many of these, you know, quote-unquote rock stars over the years. But something about Janie, and not that I was, like, this huge, amazing fan of Janie's. I mean, I was a fan of Warrant, a fan of his, but when he passed, something, it was just a very, and it's still to this day when I think of him and his passing, it's just a very sad feeling I get, a very, very sad feeling. And it's not like the same feeling I get where, you know, a lot of other, you know, rock stars that have passed on, but something about his passing just really moves me.
Man, I remember the Early Ray actually opened for Charlie Daniels the night he passed away.
Wow.
And I got the text before it hit the wire from a friend, and that was one of the few times I've ever actually teared up over losing a friend like that, you know. And it, sure. You know, I didn't boohoo cry, but I had a grief period, and I still think to this day a lot of people haven't gotten over that one. You know, just like for me, I'm not over the Dimebag thing. There's a lot of people. You know, there's a few things, but what I hate the most and what I think, in my opinion, sucks is if he would have just kind of got over that hump, he has no idea how much he would be celebrated right now. Because you can't tell me that Warrant wouldn't be on one of those stadium tours going out, you know, because they were one of the biggest bands. So it just really is a tragic thing. And, you know, and that's what a part of this for me is like, you know, hey, I want to raise the Janie Lane flag up a little bit, and you know, see if people check them out, and see if people check us out. Because if you like us, we are directly, my songwriting is directly influenced by that guy. So,
now, how about the whole connection with you and Stevie, who we're talking about, Stevie Rochelle from the band Tough, the infamous website Metal Sludge. Stevie hit me up yesterday about you guys. And, you know, so this is how this whole thing happened. I've known Stevie for years now, and I was kind of shocked. Like, I'm like, God, Stevie's getting involved in country music now. Like, I was a little like, okay. So, but then I see there's like a whole long time connection with you two too.
Yeah. We met 15 years ago ish at the Whiskey. And, I just introduced myself and was like, again, I was a nerd for that whole era. And I was like, dude, I was a big fan. And we just kind of connected, traded numbers. We had some mutual friends. And just like Janie, we connected more over our love of college football, or his love of the Packers and my love of college football. We would text about football. And then handful of years ago, he turned me on to the UFC. I'd never really got checked out the Ultimate Fighting thing, and he turned me on to that, and we talked about that, and then we just kind of developed a friendship, and it was cool for me because I became buddies with a guy I used to really dig growing up. And then the whole connection was a few years ago, this song came to him from Billy, and Stevie goes, I think I know the right guy to do this song. But at the time, those guys, and rightfully so, wanted, because they knew how special it could be, they wanted somebody bigger to do the song. So they were trying to put it out there. And I understood that. And I told Stevie years ago, I said, that's okay, because nobody's going to understand it. There's literally one guy on the planet meant to do that song in country music, and you're on the phone with him. And Stevie back then said, yeah, I feel that. And I hadn't heard it in the last few years. And back in January, I called him up one day and just said, hey, dude, whatever happened to the apple pie thing? Because I want to relaunch the record and kind of do some things. And he goes, I don't know. Let me check. And he called Billy. And Billy goes, yeah, nobody picked it up. So have at it, dude. And me and Billy got on the phone. I got on the phone with his partner. They were completely supportive. And I happened to be flying to L.A. like 4 days later to sing the national anthem at a thing called Iron Wars, which is C.T. Fletcher's bodybuilding competition, right? I do the anthem for him every year. So I called my buddy Matt Thorne, who a lot of people might remember from Rough Cut, played with Stephen Piercy. He actually recorded Warrant. He's a friend of mine, and we've worked together. And I said, hey, Matt, I know this is short notice, but can I cut a vocal at your place? He's like, yeah. He worked me in. I flew in. Immediately went to his house, and he loved being a part of it because he was a friend with Janie, and this was cool to record in the same studio that Warren had recorded in. And you know, Stevie at the time kind of was just hooking me and Billy up, but he was going to bat for me too at the same time, you know, kind of like, hey, this is the guy that should give it a try. So he sent me a text beforehand and said, if you mess this up, lose my number. We're not friends. and at the end of it, I wrote him. I was like, I think we got something, dude. And he checked it out, and you know, and we talked about doing it. He goes, I said, let's work this. And I said, and just knowing him and knowing his past, he is the Albert Einstein of knowing how to work these kind of records, you know. So it was, you know, he's my friend, and he comes from that era too. I'd rather him work it because he's a Sunset Strip legend, whether people hate him or not, he is. And so I'd rather a Sunset Strip legend work the record than some guy in a suit in Nashville who doesn't know the difference between a Warrant and, you know, Lizzie Borden. So,
dude, we're going to become good friends. I can tell this already because you're throwing names out there that I just love. Lizzie Borden, another one. Yeah, Rough Cut. Huge Rough Cut fan. And I'm going to throw this out here now because we talked about it for real quick before we went live. You're a huge wrestling fan.
Big time. What old wrestling? Like 70s and 80s. Through the whole NWO Attitude Era. Everything before that, I loved ECW, Attitude Era, NWO. Everything after, I hadn't been able to really dig as much. I still check it out, but my passion for it goes back to the Ric Flair Horseman days.
Well, I said I was going to like blow your mind away. So you just mentioned my old home territory, ECW. I was a professional wrestler for about 15 years, and I was one of the original Dudley brothers. I was Chubby Dudley.
No way, dude! That's killer. Oh, dude, that's awesome. I don't know how you feel about the guy, but I got a autographed photo of Paul Heyman somewhere around here, but
nothing but love and respect for Paul.
I had that whole era, man. I think about how you guys would not have gotten away with any of that today, and I just love it. You know, I was like, in all of us for that matter, in every industry, but especially ECW, it was like every other franchise at that point seemed like they wanted to get up to the line, but ECW seemed like they were the one pushing the goalpost. Like, no, you think you can hit a 60-yarder? Now hit an 80-yarder. Now hit a 90-yarder. So you're a legend, dude. That's killer.
They did exactly what the company was. They took it to the extreme, and they changed the face of – I think they changed not only the face of wrestling, but pop culture in general.
100%. 100%. That's why I said, dude, if you were part of that, you're a legend. And I remember that era. That's killer, man.
Yeah, good stuff. Good time. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to be good friends. Huge,
dude, absolutely.
Huge fan of, you know, I was going through your Facebook. I saw you had a bunch of, like, Crockett era posts and stuff. That's the stuff I grew up on the Crockett's and stuff.
If you go to JimCrockettPromotions.com, it sends you to Early Ray's Facebook page. I bought it just so nobody messed it up.
Really?
Yeah, years ago, when people were into buying and selling domain names, I would just goof around at night trying to get sleeping, but where does Jim Crockett go? And it said, for sale, $2. I was like, well, I better get this so nobody messes it up. And I've told the people involved many times, like, just somebody contact me. I'll sign it up back over to the family, but I didn't want somebody to take it from you. But in the meantime, if you go to it, it sends you to the band's page.
That's funny. Yeah. Wow.
Paul Heyman guy, the same thing. Paul Heyman guy, if you type in paulheymanguy.com, it takes you to our page.
Look at you. That's awesome. Yeah. That's kind of smart marketing, too.
I don't know if it's smart or just dumb luck.
You never know. You can find a fan that way.
You gotta. We gotta get on the phone. I want to hear some ECW stories sometime.
Absolutely, absolutely. You got my number anytime, man. So, going back to Early Ray, and this is something I truly want to say to everybody out there. Like, I was listening to the album earlier, and how can you not love a band that has a song called Fried Pickles?
I'm a big guy. I like food, and I remember. There was a time I was going back and forth between West Hollywood and Rock Hill, where I live. And anybody who's been to South Carolina and West Hollywood realize that's a big, big difference in complete everything. And I remember being in West Hollywood one night and somebody had put fried pickles on their menu. And I overheard this girl go, "What the F is fried pickles? Who gives?" And where I'm from, that's like normal delicacy. You know what I mean? So I was
right.
And going back to the Janie Lane thing, is one of the things he taught me was to always challenge myself, because something you think won't work, see if you can make it work. Like, that was one of his lessons. And I was like, fried pickles. And I put it in my phone. I'm like, nobody's ever used that for a song. So I, like, in my head, I'm like, I want to pay tribute to girls who aren't too good to eat fried pickles, who are like, I'll check it out, you know. But this girl was almost appalled at the idea. And I just thought that was funny.
That's
where the song came from. Yeah.
So do you like Hooters fried pickles? Because that's where I first had them. That's where I've always had them.
Dude, I got a whole crew of friends called the Hoot Crew, and we all go to Hooters occasionally. So I 100% love their fried pickles.
That's awesome. I was actually at one time, like, I was so obsessed with Hooters. I started back when I was living in Philly a few years back. I started driving around to all the Hooters. And I wanted to do a tour of the whole country of Hooters. And I had gotten up to like 33 or 34 different Hooters. And actually just this on Father's Day, I went to, because I moved to Nashville 9 months ago. I went to Hooters of Nashville for the first time. So I'm up to about 35.
Nice. I'm kind of with you. I haven't did that, but when I went to Tampa on some tours I played on and other things, I remember one day this friend of mine, like, "Can I show you anything?" I'm like, isn't the original Hooters here? And he was just like, "Oh, that's like in Pensacola." It was right out of the thing. But my mindset was, I don't want to see all the beauty things you got, the ocean and the trees and stuff. Let's go to the first Hooters.
Right.
And I'm right there with you, dude. Right there with you.
That's funny. That is so funny. So now, the one thing I did notice, like, I was going through your YouTube channel and all. A lot of the songs are actually like older songs that you now put onto this album.
Right. That record is a few years old, but that record always was missing. It's like, imagine having a table and a jigsaw puzzle, and you have a 1,000-piece puzzle and you're missing one piece, and you know that daggum piece is somewhere, right? That's how that record always felt. Because, you know, if you listen to the record, there's a ton of Easter egg 80s lines in all the songs. But I wanted to, at the time, I'm like, I'm not some skinny 17-year-old kid. I'm not gonna play pop music. I want to see how much of this Sunset Strip attitude I can kind of backdoor in the country. And so I did the record, put it out. We had some success, played with a lot of acts like Chris Stapleton, Zach Brown Band, Eric nice. Church. We played with a lot of the really big acts, and we actually, did pretty okay with it. But that record was just missing a piece. And when I heard the Apple Pie tune years ago, I knew that was the piece for that record. And when Steve and I were talking about it, I just said, why don't we remix and remaster it? And Stevie has a really, really great mixing and mastering buddy in LA. And dude, he went in there and just made it a whole new thing. And it sounds fresh and new. And with the song, the Apple Pie song, it feels like, okay, it's finally what it needed to be. It's kind of like November Rain took Axl Rose 7 years to write it. This record took 10 years to complete it. So.
But the good thing is, like, I mean, this all the songs, they stand the test of time. It's not like they're aged or they sound dated at all.
Well, the thing is when I wrote that record, I purposely tried to recreate the 80s sound. So I recorded it in L.A. with Matt Thorne, Frank Wiltse from the Sea Hags, and Stephen Piercy's band plays all the slide on Where the Wild Things Are. I had a couple of other 80s buddies come in and help out because I really wanted to capture that sound. Because of the sound was already not in fashion, it couldn't kind of go out of fashion. It was just right. A classic sound. It's like AC/DC. When are they ever not going to sound cool?
Exactly.
So I knew whenever I heard the Apple Pie tune, I'm like, this is the icing. I got the cake. I needed this. I was patient. It took a while, but I knew there was really one dude do that song, and that song completes that record. You know, now all my 80s references, like where I say Welcome to the Jungle and Where the Wild Things Are, Highway to I'm on the highway to jail, and I drop all these little 80s nuggets. With Apple Pie, it makes the rest of the record make sense.
Sure, sure. That's awesome, man. That is freaking awesome. Now, how about with the pandemic and everything that's been going on as of late? Did you guys have a lot of shows you lost out on? Some streaming, like solo wise.
Just like everybody. I had a good calendar coming up for the year. You know, we were going to be on some festivals, and there were some people in January who heard the track before we mixed and mastered it, who I know in the business, and they were going to get the band on some bigger things. And cause they knew we were kind of coming out with a new single and a new push, and we had a good calendar and it just got crushed. So I've been playing some little acoustic gigs around my area whenever my friends call, and doing a few live streams, and I'm sitting idle like everybody else. I'm waiting just like everybody, and then it was a big debate whether or not to put the song out. But to me, if I'm really going to be authentic to my original, what I had in my mind of the 30-year anniversary, I called Stevie. I said, 31-year anniversary doesn't play as well for me. This was to remember the guy on the 30th anniversary of that record. And Stevie agreed. He was just like, you know what? Let's stick it out there. And so I reshot the Bobby Brown part of the video at the Rainbow back in January. And we were going to shoot the rest of the video in February, March, and then release it in April. Well, when the pandemic hit, it just threw a wrench in everything. And when things kind of opened back up in South Carolina, I called Stevie and said, I'm going to finish the video, because we've had the Bobby part since January.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so he called Billy and said, hey, these crazy nuts are thinking about shooting this video this weekend. Will you go do it? And Billy goes, hell yeah, let's rock it. So it came together, and we shot all this stuff outside with the other girl and everything. That was shot about 3 weeks ago.
Nice. Now, were you friends with Bobby before this, or?
No, I had met Bobby a couple of times, but to be honest with you, there's very few people that I don't want to have a bad day with. Like, I've met Mickey Six. I actually played a show with him. We'll talk about that later, but
okay.
We played a show with Motley. I met Mickey one time, and he was fantastic. He was so cool to me. Right. Wow. Well, I'll tell you some stories. But I've had 10 chances to meet him since. I'm like, nope. And I ran into Bobby one night and I spoke to her and she was really pleasant to me. And I'm like, I'm out. Like that was back in like 2000, 2001. And so I'd seen her around, and but I never really, I didn't want to ruin my 13-year-old thing with my heroes, because to me she was every bit as much of that video and that song and that,
absolutely,
you know, that whole thing, you know, as anybody, you know. So I had a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, that song and her go hand in hand. You can't hear that song without picturing her in that video.
I think my favorite quote so far, it just came from a friend. She said, "When Bobby winks, time goes in reverse." And I was like, wow, that's a cool quote. That just made me feel good. Like, even if we take you back for a minute, you know, that's pretty cool. But no, I didn't know Bobby. And whenever I was cutting the vocal, the rainbow, just from things I'd done in the past, hung my photo up in the first booth. You walk straight in the long booth where, okay, I don't know if you know the rainbow, like if you just walk straight in the door, there's a long booth. They hung photo up there. Well, part of the perks of being a member of the Rainbow Club is they'll let you use the venue. That's been the urban legend. So I called my buddy over there and he's like, yeah, dude, they opened the doors. They couldn't have been nicer. And wow, all props to the rainbow. And Bobby came in, she had her dog with her, and they were like, go for it. Who cares? Like, you guys make your thing. They couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, I just want a big, lot of props to Mike and Anthony over at the Rainbow for letting us shoot over there. But that, it just, so when she showed up, I was nervous. And I think I probably said 10 words to her the whole time we were shooting, to be honest with you. But she was very nice.
That's all. Nice. Yeah, like I've been Bobby probably a dozen times, and we've become friends over the years, and she's an amazing person. It's kind of funny, like, you know, here's this, you know, in my eyes she's legendary video vixen, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
When I see, I get a text message from her, it's kind of like, really? And it's like, it's still kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I don't think she quite, and rightfully so, I don't think anybody does, but I don't think she quite understood the impact she had on everybody from the west of Laurel Boulevard to the rest of the country. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I don't think, she's a legend. And like I said, I was walking on eggshells because I'm like, I'm just so grateful she's agreed to be a part of this, because without her giving the kind of stamp and doing the little wink at the end,
yeah,
it wouldn't have worked as well. It wouldn't have been quite as, it wouldn't have been in my head what I thought it could be. She was so nice, so gracious, completely pro. Was actually at the end of the shoot, she was like, "Do you guys need anything else? I got an hour. I'm cool." Like, she was more than willing to help. And you know, all props to Bobby too. You know, she really was the, you know, I guess cliche, the cherry on top of this video. You know?
Yeah, I think it kind of gives it. I mean. I guess I want to say maybe like a seal of approval. You know what I mean? Like that Bobby's
right,
part of it. You know, I think definitely she had to be part of it. I'm so happy she was.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's funny to me. It's like, I see some of the negative reviews. People are like, nope. And you know, I kind of dig it, but I'm like, if you watch the video, who are you to say Bobby can't be cool with it? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm like, that's the ultimate seal of approval. And I to have her meant everything. Like I said, it wouldn't have worked even half as well had she not done what she did. And I'm really grateful, and she's a sweetheart. And I hope it makes people think about her and check her out again, you know, because
absolutely,
you're right. She's to me, she was the video vixen. People think Cherry Pie, but she was in Great White videos. She was in Last Action Hero. She was at, you know, One Star Search 1,000 times in a row. Nobody could touch her back in that era. To
yeah,
me, you know, I always thought like it shouldn't have been a competition. She was a smoke show, and she smoked all those other chicks, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to say who they are, but there's about three or four during that era that were working, and she, in my opinion, was the best of the best. So, props to Bobby. Thank you if you check this out.
Absolutely. So now, real quick, you got to tell me this, the Nikki Sixx story. How did you end up playing with Motley Crue?
let me show you a picture real quick. Can you see this? Let's see.
Yes.
Right here.
Okay.
Picture me and Nikki. Right. You see my finger?
Yeah.
There's my pass. You know, we could get into this because it's a whole different secondary story, but I played in the band Wednesday 13 during his first solo record.
Stop it.
And,
dude,
I was a bass player. Yeah.
Rot for Me is one of my favorite Wednesday 13 songs.
Yeah, I was a bass player on that whole tour. If you watch the Bad Things video for the record, that's my home video. We strung together for the, we wanted to recreate Home Sweet Home, but shock rock style.
Damn. That's freaking
awesome.
So that
whole year, so that whole summer during that record, we did all the festivals. So I played with everybody. Here's a cool story. If you guys want to hear a cool rock story, Wednesday and I are just nerd kids from Carolina. That's just the truth. And we had a little run with Alice Cooper for like 3 weeks or something in 05 in October. And Alice was our hero, like one of our main dudes.
Sure.
And on Halloween, when I was a kid, there's a few years I dressed up like Alice Cooper. I wore the makeup. And I told him that day, and he goes, be on the side of the stage. And so Ed, I was like, hey, Wednesday, let's go check out the rest of the Cooper show. He said, be on the side of the stage. And at the last song, The School's Out, on Halloween in 05, he made two nerd dreams come true. And he brought us out to sing background vocals on his last song, School's Out, in front of, at the Grove in Anaheim.
Wow.
And so with that whole year, I got to play with my heroes, Motley Crue, Alice Cooper, everybody. We did gigs with Slayer, Marilyn Manson. We did a gig one time in Spain with Slayer. And dude, I literally thought hell was going to open up in the ground. And it was just, they really were the real deal. Like I'd never checked out a show, but I was sitting on the side of the stage and the momentum of people on the ground was making the festival stage bounce.
Wow.
So I've had some pretty cool experiences, you know, and like I said, I don't want to distract from what, you know, what we're trying to talk about, but I have a million stories like that I've been fortunate, really fortunate, you know. It's almost like just a horseshoe of luck that I've been able to do some stuff like that. But yeah, if you remember the first Wednesday record,
all
I'm
that
the guy that had dreadlocks and a mohawk. That was me.
Wow. That's awesome. Love that freaking album.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty sure I saw you on that tour too, because I saw Wednesday on his first few solo tours. I think I saw you guys in Allentown, Pennsylvania with Any Product.
I know we played Allentown for a fact because a buddy of mine from here was originally from there, and that day he sent a couple of his friends to our show. So I don't know. I know we played there once with Dead Star Assembly. I don't know if you know who they are.
Okay.
And we may have done it with Any Product. You know, that's 15 years ago, so my brain is a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But we definitely hit up Allentown. That was a fun place.
That's awesome. That is freaking awesome. So, all right, dude, like, I mean, you are like a treasure trove of fun information, music, wrestling, pop culture. We can go on for hours and hours.
Absolutely, dude. We could, man. But I got to remind people, because Stevie will wring my neck if I don't.
Absolutely.
Apple Pie is out now. Go check it out. If you dug the 80s, if you dug Warrant, if you dug Janie, just know, even if you hate it, just know it came from the right place and my heart was in the right place when I did it, and I hope you love it. And if you don't, go listen to some Warrant records. And it's out everywhere, YouTube, the video with Bobby. She makes a comeback, and she looks better than ever, if you ask me. Yeah. I think she looks stunning.
So. Yeah, I think she looks better now than she did in the actual Cherry Pie video.
You know how many people have texted me and go, is that Bobby Brown? She looks incredible. Because in their head, I think they thought, well, it's been 30 years. She can't.
Yeah.
Dude, I called Stevie when we got done shooting the video. I said, well, Bob's still the best looking thing in the video. You know, like, you know, you know. I was like, she crushed it, man. She was that last scene where she winks and smiles was like perfect. It couldn't have got better. She looked like she just stepped off a movie set.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Well, dude, this is
so
this,
everybody check out Apple Pie.
Yeah, so
everybody go give it a listen.
Check it out, and it, absolutely check out the video. The song's great. You got guest appearance and by Billy Morris, former Warren guitarist, and you got the cherry on top herself, Bobby Brown. So check it out. It's great, great tribute to a person who doesn't get enough props or just due, Mr. Janie Lane.
Absolutely, and that's what the whole thing's about. So,
I was gonna say the full album is there actual physical copies or is it just on streaming or?
There will be physical copies. There's links on the pages. There's links on Metal Sludge. There's links on Stevie's pages. I think they're shipping out in like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Okay.
We did physical copies of it, and you know, people are starting to buy it. So everybody jump on and go buy a copy. Support the cause.
There you go. Early Ray. And you can go to Jim Crockett Promotions. Is it .com or
PaulHeymanGuy.com?
PaulHeymanGuy. That's awesome.
Or earlyray.com.
Nice.
Spelled like it said. But yeah, that's me. So I appreciate you having me on today, man. I appreciate you giving it a listen, and I can't wait to hear some ECW stories. I want to ask you some specific ECW stories, because kids like me heard these urban legends like Gene Simmons' tongue was made out of a cow, right? We would hear these legends about ECW. So let's get on the phone and talk, man. I'd love to hear some stories.
Absolutely. You let me know when, and we'll talk.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Take care.